This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
Today, we've got our girl, Nikki Sands, Gigs Live. I'm glad you made it here.
Thank you. And, I'm so happy to be here. This is awesome.
How was your Memorial Day weekend? What'd you do?
Oh my gosh. So I don't really get to take time off of this.
Yeah.
But I got my Saturday off. It was actually the most perfect day. I got to play tennis in the morning.
Wow.
Got on a boat, wakeboarded, surfed, went to Party Cove, and then ended the night with an improv musical night, which I don't know if you've ever done those. It was like, it was incredible.
That's awesome.
Third Coast Comedy. Oh, that's, I love awesome. It. How about you? What'd you do?
I was actually in the Carolinas out in your home neck of the woods. I was in South Carolina, so yes. The other Carolina. My girlfriend's from Charleston, so we went out there. One of her friends was renewing her wedding vows, so I got to meet like all of her friends and hang out with her family. And I got the seal of approval, which was the big thing. You know, it's a big deal.
How long have y'all dated?
We've been together for a little over a year now. Oh, so
you need that seal of approval. Solid.
Yeah, it's been good. So you're originally from Charlotte, North Carolina, a place that I love.
Me
from
too.
My experience of going on the road and touring, places like Coyote Joe's
are
like some of my favorite places to go to. And even like going into like Raleigh, like the I think it's the Red Hat Amphitheater. Mm-hmm. Like there's so much music in the Carolinas.
Totally.
So what was it like starting there?
I used to, in high school, go dancing at Coyote Joe's.
Okay. So you were a regular.
We were line dancing.
Heck yeah.
Oh, yeah. We, but I mean, it's crazy because there's a new conference called Confluence that's starting. They really are like trying to get music to the Carolinas more,
awesome.
Just more of a music presence. Because when I lived in Charlotte, I knew like I needed to get to Nashville or LA in order to work in the industry. And so I think it's important that people can stay where they are and still work in the industry. So I'm really trying to get a big gigs presence out there too, so that we're like, hey, if you're trying to work in the industry, you can stay there if you want or move to Nashville. But, you know, being in the Carolinas, there's a resurgence. Yeah.
Yeah. So how long, what was your kind of first step to getting in the industry? Because I figured you've been doing stuff before all this gig stuff started.
For sure. I was gigging. That was it. In college, I was studying sport management and I like really thought I wanted to work for the NFL. And so I had a sports internship in Greensboro and I had to work a concert. They're like, oh, can you work this concert too? It was a whole complex and it was a Dolly Parton show.
Ooh.
And I saw the whole, you know, walk in, it's an empty arena, you build the entire stage, you have all the buses and the trucks unloading, and I just was completely overwhelmed and I was it was magical to me. And I was like, oh, fuck sports. We're doing music. I don't care about sports at all anymore.
Yeah.
So anyways, can I curse on this?
You say whatever you want, Nikki. Great. You are good to go.
So that was kind of my jump in. I was like, okay, how do I do this? And then I started working at the Greensboro Coliseum with the event managers. They were my mentors. They used to be tour managers for like Pink and Michael Bublé, and they did production.
Wow.
So they were on the road.
Yeah.
Then they worked in the venue. So they were like, as soon as you graduate college, you go straight to Nashville. You got to, you know, get to know the union, get to know all the venues. All that matters is who you know, and that's the person that'll get you a job.
Wow.
And I'm like, well, how do I meet all these people?
Yeah.
So I moved to Nashville the day after I graduated from college. I didn't know anyone. I lived in a terrible house for like $300 rent with strangers. But it got me here, and I started working in a recording studio, and I just like gigged. That's all I did I was like, I'm not going to have a 9-to-5 job. I'm just going to gig until I get on the road. So I worked, recording studio. I would work any, you know, venue. I got in with Bridgestone, Live Nation, Ascend, Ryman. And finally, after like just trying to be on people's top of minds and first one in, last one out. Like, when you need someone, let me know. Someone finally put my name into work, Eric Church's Christmas party at his house. So I went working catering. And so when I was there, I was like, if you need anyone, let me know. And they're like, we're good. And I followed up. I was like, I'll work harder than anyone you'll ever find. Just give me a shot.
Yeah.
They gave me a shot the next day at rehearsals. They ended up firing someone, getting me in on the road. That was kind of my first step. So I got to start my first tour with Eric Church. It was like, I was like, I don't belong here. This is insane.
Which church tour was that?
That was the Double Down tour.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Which was also the most insane tour to start out with. Like it was because you get to load in to a beautiful arena and he has two shows back to back in the same arena. So you don't even have to load out and go to the next city.
Yeah.
It was real nice. And so then when like real touring started and I was like, oh, you have to load out every night and load in the next day.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I got a good deal the first one. Yeah.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
That was kind of the start. And I mean, even when, especially with country touring, when you're doing Weekend Warrior, you're back every Sunday. So then I'm trying to fill in my days with other gigs. So that's when I would work, you know, any sporting event, I would work corporate events, trade shows, TV and film, like anything to fill my time. So I was like just a true gigging professional. So then COVID happened and we don't even have to get into that. That was tragic. But then when we went back out on the road 2021, I realized, oh my God, I don't think I like this anymore. I don't think I want to. I got really used to being home with my people.
Yeah.
So I got off the road and I was staffing tours. And that's when I was like, oh.
Staffing tours? What does that entail? Because I didn't even know that existed.
It's really boutique-y. So it's like with management companies that have the money to be able to say, hey, you guys have great connections. Please, we need a, you know, we need a tour manager to fill in for this band when they go to Asia. So then I was like, how do I know, you know, I need to get a good 15 candidates, tour managers that are badass for this level band that have Asian touring experience and know all the visa stuff. So that's when it hit me of like, I don't know that many people and I can text as many people as I want. I can post on Facebook, Bobnet.
Yeah.
But I was feeling like we need something else. We need something more professional.
Yeah.
And so that's when it hit me of like, all right, we need some kind of LinkedIn for our industry where you not only have a standard professional profile, but then you also have a standard professional job post and you can meet people that you never would have met otherwise.
Yeah, and the connections that you build on the road with other tours, like I've gotten to know folks like my buddy Rich, my buddy Joey that work on Kid Rock's tour.
Yeah.
And like they're guys that one of them, Rich, does like the trucking and like drives the staging and drives the semis. Joey does like internal security and like all the different people that you meet and those connections and like who you know. But COVID took that away from us and a whole generation of people didn't get to have that.
Exactly. It took away the people that were about to retire, all that industry knowledge, and also it took away people that were that one person that would have connected you to the next person that would have gotten you that next gig.
Yeah.
So it really, I mean, we lost like 25% of our workforce. And I mean, going back out is a whole nother thing. Like,
yeah.
We had COVID dogs out when we went out in 2021.
COVID dogs.
Dogs that every morning, every stagehand, everyone in the tour lined up. And the dogs would smell your left hand. And if the dog smelled COVID on you, it would sit down and then they go to me. And then I shove stuff up their nose. And if they're always right. And they were always positive. And we had to send people home. And it was just a nightmare. And then, you know, working in 90 degree heat with a mask. I was like, this is not, do we really want to go back to work?
Especially when you're used to touring before then. And think about all the OGs that have been touring like legacy tour managers, techs, rigging folks. Like
that's why they got into real estate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is crazy. But now gigs, how long have you been doing this project?
So yeah, I started this 2022 in the summer. And I was crazy enough to be like, I'll create a tech company, not knowing anything. And so I got with the Entrepreneur Center here and like met with any person I possibly could. And finally, you know, I thought we could launch it to the world like 8 months later. No. And then I bootstrapped it. I put about $200,000 of my own money into this.
Wow.
And I went with this Polish development company, ended up not working out, went with this other company, ended up not working out. And I lost all my money on this tech and what I thought we needed for our MVP of it. So then I had to start fundraising and, finally. So I've raised about $500,000 now with 14 different strategic investors. And we launched the product in November, so about 6 months ago. And now we have over 10,000 people on there, 400 companies. We've filled 200 jobs, over 200 jobs now by like Live Nation, Red Light Management, Claire, Tate, PRG. Like it's blowing my mind that it's working so well already. We got a lot of work to do, but yeah, but we're thrilled, and we're still raising money. It's just a never-ending, you know, tech company. If you're doing it right, you got to spend the money where it matters.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
That's so fucking cool to see someone who was out doing the Weekend Warrior stuff's what I used to do.
Yeah, you know, okay. I want to hear more about that.
I was in merch, so okay. I was the merch guy for Muscadine Bloodline for about a year.
Oh, nice.
And
that
was fun. I was with them right before COVID, so it was like before Me on You had come out. It's when like Port Swing Angel was the big song.
Yes.
So I was out with them in the Sprinter van and just dogging it and going, and then COVID hits, and then I end up getting connected with Trey Lewis. Him and I hit it off, become good friends. Dick Down in Dallas does what it does. Yeah. Trey needs somebody to sell the Dick Down in Dallas t-shirts and the stickers and all that stuff. So I end up going out with him because he started touring again December of 2020.
Like, whoa. Right,
yeah. Oh, yeah.
Risque.
Lots of time to Texas and Florida.
Lots
of trips in Texas.
Not going to California.
It was wild. And then I got thrown into the tour manager role. And I had never done it before. And having to go some weekends in a van. The good weekends were in a bandwagon. Then eventually we're in a bus for a little bit. Then we're back in the van. And
who's driving?
I'm driving that bandwagon. I'm like a Warped Tour roadie driving that bandwagon, sleeping in that front bunk. Just going, and then then we did the Kid Rock tour for a year, and getting to see how that operates and all the different people. But to go from that life to now you running a business, like this, and to see the success that it's having, and I see your face everywhere. Like, you guys do such a good
advertising
job. I don't know if that
Annabelle. Hello,
Annabelle. Great job.
Oh yeah, like, constant social media.
And all the different conferences that you're going to, and the different people you're getting to speak in front of, because it's crazy. Because the music industry is a world thing. We happen to live in a hub in Nashville, and there's other hubs like New York, like LA, like Austin, Texas, and I'm sure there's hubs in London, in Tokyo, in different places, and the service can be used around the world. It's not a niche Nashville thing.
And it can be used for all live events.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the long term. We're starting niche with touring in the U.S., but then, you know, I'm going to New Orleans on Sunday for a conference for NIVA. It's a National Independent
Venues
Association.
That's a big one. Yeah,
amazing.
Yeah, yeah. Huge conference.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, you know, we've already had so many venues hiring people successfully, not only for the day-to-day operation staff, but security, and then also for, you know, the internal full-time staff team that's like talent booking, and like they're doing marketing. And so venues, huge client of ours, big employer posting.
And that's where you started, was on the venue side. So it's cool that you get the venue side. You understand the sporting event side, because that's your big passion, which I started out with sports too.
What were you doing?
I wanted to be like, I had a sports blog when I was like 12 years old, and I was like, I want to be with ESPN, I want to do this, I want to do that. I grew up in New York, so like you have the Yankees and the Giants, and it's like you have 13 professional teams. We're spoiled up there.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was in high school, I interned with the MSG Network, and I was doing on-camera stuff with them, writing blogs, doing beat writing on lacrosse and wrestling and hockey and all this different stuff. But then the music industry just took a hold of me when
it
I was
took
in college.
You. Yeah. Right? You just forget about little sports.
Yeah. Which is crazy to say, because the sports industry and sports entertainment is massive.
Yeah.
But there's something about music, and there's something about the energy of it.
Are you a musician?
No, I have no musical ability.
Wow. Okay, but you're an appreciator.
I say that I'm good at listening, and I'm really good at talking about it.
Okay. Yeah. You definitely have a voice. You got it. Yeah. You should be doing a podcast.
I got that radio thing. Yeah. I used to. That's true. The radio station I worked for. I worked with a soccer mom station. It's adult contemporary, but it's soccer mom. So it was today's hits, yesterday's favorites, Magic 98.3, and it was like Bruno Mars, Bon Jovi. It was talking to soccer moms in New Jersey, kind of thing. Mm. And I always liked doing the broadcast stuff, but then you get down here and it's like the songwriting community is kind of its own thing. Then the artists that are cutting their teeth, and then you have like the labels, and then the booking, and then the management, and then the touring's a whole other side. Mm-hmm. And it seems like gigs, you're able to help everybody along that chain.
People forget about hundreds of people that put on every single show. Hundreds of people that most of them aren't even going to the shows. They're routing, they're booking, they're doing all that. They're getting the artists prepared. They're the design team. They're the pre-production team. Hundreds of people go into every show, and you don't, you know, the average person doesn't even think about, you know, that there are people up hundreds of feet up rigging and actually getting the scaffolding built in each place. You know, what does it take to put on a festival? How many people does that take? Like, I dipped my toes in the festival world and quickly realized I didn't want to work another festival.
That's a big part of what we do with Raised Rowdy. We go to a lot of festivals.
Amazing.
We kind of started as like my business partner, Nick, who's the founder when he started it. They were going to a festival in Ohio, just being country music lovers. And then it evolved into being a company. But like so we're going to like, I think 10 festivals this year. We've already done like 3 of them. The next 2 weeks we're going to be like emceeing on the stage and doing all kinds of cool stuff. Yeah, tailgating tall boys in Iowa and in Illinois, which is going to be pretty wild.
Oh my
gosh. It's like, yeah, the festival thing is a whole different thing. And then you were talking about like people getting out of their jobs, or like COVID made things like really weird. Mm-hmm. I remember the bus shortage.
It's still
a thing.
Yeah, it's constantly text. Anyone have a bus? Anyone know about? Oh yeah,
or a bus driver.
I'm sure
that's an occupation that gets filled with gigs
too. Oh, big time. We got anyone from a tour manager, production manager, to rigging, audio, video, lighting, makeup artist, catering, hospitality, bus driving, truck driving, security, VIP. I mean, it's like everything that you could possibly think about is backstage. But, you know, we're already in corporate events. We're already helping with TV and film. We're going to do a big, much bigger hard launch into the TV and film world and the sports world. Like, I worked the Super Bowl the last few years. So, you know, this is all the same gigging professional.
I got to stop you right there. What is that like? What is it like working the damn Super Bowl?
Well, I was working for Populous, which manages all of the credentials. So every person that steps foot in the venue, we're making a credential for them. And so it's handling, you know, group pickup. So you're making a credential for Rihanna, but also the, you know, the guy who's slinging hot dogs too. So it's like all over the board, really learning kind of like what it takes to put on that kind of production. Insane.
Yeah.
And then also being in the city, like we were in Tampa when Tampa won the Super Bowl or whatever, Tom Brady won the Super Bowl, whatever.
Yeah.
And remember how I said I used to like sports?
Yeah, right?
Which was just wild to be a part of, like, being in the city. But anyways, no, I mean, I still have a love for it, all live events like that. So, you know, the same gigging professional that's working at that recording studio, that's slinging merch, is the same person that's going to be behind the scenes working sports and TV and film. Like, I've worked... You know, I worked the casting for The Bachelor. Random.
You
gigs.
Really said yes to everything.
I didn't say no.
That is
my advice to every single person.
Such a key.
You're never above your job. Like, I've done jobs I did not want to do. Like, I was working a corporate event and I had to go on a pedal pup and be on a pedal pup. I was like, what? Didn't I get a degree? But like, then it's if you ever have a thought like that, you're thinking wrong. Like, you're never above a job. And every single gig, every networking event is that next opportunity to meet the right person. And, I mean, also people see the way you work. It's not that hard to stand out in our industry because so many, I don't know. I just think if you're working hard, people will remember you and they'll call you.
Yeah, and that's such a message because we have so many people moving to this town.
Yeah.
Every freaking day. I think at one point it was like 100. It's probably more than that now. Mm-hmm.
I think that was when I moved here. It was 100. I was one of those.
When did you get here?
2018.
Hey, we got here same time.
Oh,
it was
my
October
gosh.
2018.
I was May.
You were May? Okay. So when I first moved to town, I went from being in the radio station to, I had some buddies that had moved down here. And the gig that they got me to be down here was checking IDs on Broadway at Dirk Bentley's Whiskey Row. I was a bouncer my first year in town.
Incredible. What'd you learn?
Oh, I learned a lot. I learned that I'm glad I quit drinking. That's for sure. I learned how different people are, and you see everything on Broadway.
You know, it's funny. One of my first jobs, I was working for a recording studio, and we did tours. And so the producer there was like, "Can you go on Broadway and hand out flyers?"
Yeah,
like,
street team it.
No, but then, I mean, it sucks. But it's like you don't say no to a gig. What that led to, and what the tour has become, Nashville Studio Tours, massive operation now. It's incredible. And so kind of being on the ground floor of that and like those sales and the cold calling, like you just don't know what you're going to learn in everything.
Yeah.
And if you think you're above any job, like you're not meant for this industry.
Yeah. I mean, I have all kinds of war stories from Broadway, you know, and doing that. But there was a guy there that I worked with. His name was Tyler. And then Tyler got the Muscadine front of house gig and was like, "Hey, I think you'd be cool. Be good at selling merch." And I almost didn't take the gig because I was like, I need my $15 an hour on Broadway and the door money that you get working the door. That's a whole other conversation.
Let's talk about that.
I was back in the day. But by being at Whiskey Row and meeting the folks that I did there, that led me to the Muscadine gig, which led me to the Trey gig, which led me to meeting my business partner Nick with Raise Rowdy and getting the other half of that. And now we've been doing this full time for a year and there's nothing in it, but it's every little step.
Mm-hmm. And in this industry, you're not going to get, you know, from a LinkedIn posting like, "Oh, how'd you get this job?" Well, I applied to it on LinkedIn or Indeed.
LinkedIn sucks for music.
No one's on it. That's why we need gigs.
Yeah. Everybody else on it. Like my little brother that works in like FiDi up in New York is like, Why you should put your stuff on LinkedIn. I'm like, dude, nobody sees it. Instagram is more of our.
Exactly.
I call Instagram the Nashville business card. But now, but now with a thing like gigs, if you're, especially like with us.
Professionally.
Like, yeah, professionally. And someone that's in the industry but isn't writing songs, isn't playing in the band, isn't on the stage during the performance or in the writing room, this gives us something.
Exactly. So we on the gigs profile, you can show any touring experience and non-touring. So whatever, you know, any gig you've ever worked, put it. It's important. And then you also put, you know, any, if you can work any consoles, any qualifications you have, certifications. And then you got, you know, your references on there too. You have, and then I can be endorsed by, you can endorse me for being a tour manager or production assistant.
Is it someone you worked with or someone that you saw along the way?
And then that's, you're publicly putting your face on my profile saying, I actually, everybody, I endorse Nikki, which is important for this word of mouth industry.
Yeah.
You can also endorse me for a good hang, for a good, you know, punctual bus hang, like things that do really matter.
Bus hang and punctuality are so important.
Trustworthy.
Yes.
The soft skills. Sometimes you're like, man, I don't need, you know, a really skilled person. I need someone right off the bat. But if they're endorsed for being a good hang and I can trust them around my people and like they're not going to cause an issue or any drama, like you're going to hire that person always.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's interesting kind of creating a professional network for people who refuse to be corporate. But we need it. And I mean, we had our first kind of like professional networking event, but we had it at next door to the Basement East at Lakeside Lounge.
That is perfect. Yeah. Good on you.
Oh yeah, we're gonna have it at all dive bars.
We're gonna network at a bar, and it's gonna be a hang.
It's gonna be a hang.
It's gonna be a hang, and be like, oh, like not the stuffiness of like picking up your card and being at the table, but actually hanging with other guys and girls that are in the industry. That's the way to do it. Honestly,
we raffled off a pelican too. It was like an awesome pelican. So we're like giving people what they actually want.
Yeah.
But I know people got gigs from that event. They were like, they would message me and say, I actually got coffee with this person and they're going to take me out on the road for this thing. And I'm like, we have done exactly what we're meant to do. And so we're going to actually have events up in Boston. We're partnering with Berklee School of Music. We're going to have them in New York City. We're going to have them in LA, some in Florida, New Orleans, Austin. We'll see. I mean, hell, I'm not sleeping. Like, I am so hyped up about this.
I feel like you haven't, like, taken the time to just chill in maybe your whole life, dare
I say.
Because I just feel like you've just been going. But that's what it takes to get to the level and to run an operation and to succeed in this industry.
Exactly. I was about to say, you've done it. You gigged, and now you're running this. And I mean, it takes the craziness and a person that just is not going to stop.
Yeah, and the passion for it. It's the love for it. It's not for the dollar signs. Dollars are great. I'd love to have a ton of dollars. But there's something special about, like with us, we do a lot of live events in town. We do 10 to 15 Rowdy events a month, whether it's
cool.
Writers' Rounds, our full band showcases at Losers. And like last night, we had a kid, Braden Stewart, young kid, 19 years old. Got up there ripped, like Texas rock style stuff, like that East Texas, like Co-Wetzel-y kind of thing.
Hell yeah.
And getting to be his first show in Nashville and seeing him, and it was a little three-piece thing, and seeing him and his guys, just the joy and the excitement they had of playing a show in Nashville. Mm. And it's like, that keeps me going for what we do. And that's our part of it in the community. Just like for you, it's hearing that this guy or this girl came to Lakeside and then
got a job.
Got a job.
You kidding me? And so many people are getting jobs. I mean, it's working. And also the employers are thrilled because they're, you know, they need someone last minute. It's like that classic, the amount of texts I get of like, hey, can you go out and TM this band tomorrow? And I'm like, no, how are you going to do it? They're like, well, can you send me recs? And I'm like, dude, we got to just post on gigs. It's constant. You know, our industry is always going to be who you know. And like, there's something really beautiful about that.
Yeah.
It's like the only industry other than like cruise lines where you're living with people and working with them. And we're a bunch of crazy carnies that, you know, are in this industry.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was given this advice that like for gigs in particular, you date the model, you marry the mission. So with what you're doing, you know, you're marrying the mission of bringing music to people that lights you up. That's why you're in this.
Yeah.
You're kind of going from being a part of it and selling merch and being with the artist. Now you're putting on shows. And so like what we started as, I was like, this is just for touring. And now it's all live events. Like the way that our model is structured, the way that our, you know, we're monetizing things keep changing, but the mission is just keeping the live industry alive. That's it.
Yeah, because it took such a big hit a few years ago. And yeah. Think about all those venues that closed or got bought out yeah. and aren't the same. Like, we were talking about the Carolinas before, and you being from Charlotte, and Carolinas with country, with all music, are great. Yeah. There's a venue that just shut down out in Greenville, the Blind Horse Saloon. Been around for years. Years. Mm-hmm. They were one of the spots where people could get the liquor. You can get a Jack and Coke in a pitcher for like $8. It was a wild joint. But there's venues that, like the whole scene in general, people didn't know exactly what to do. So by now, having this resource is a big thing.
And it's honestly, our biggest competition is just the culture of the way everyone's used to be doing it. So like, if someone has a gig, they're just going to text everyone first. And so what we're building now, so right now it's just profile, post jobs. It should be ready in a couple weeks. Basically a CRM, a contact management platform.
Wow.
So like, I've been asking all these big, huge companies of, how are you managing your list of freelancers? When you need an LD or when you need a TM, how are you going about it? They're like, oh, we just text them. So this is allowing them to upload the whole, you know, take red light management. That whole, everyone has their own contacts. Everyone can upload them to the massive red light management CRM in gigs. Go to those people first, and when they can't find anyone, they could either post a job or they can search our full database. And so we're building this out. We're going to integrate a whole calendar component, so it's like, you know, you can see when people are available or not. And there's just a lot we can do.
Yeah. Wow.
We got a good team. We got a good team.
Yeah, so how many people are on the team right now? I know we got you. We got Annabelle.
Got Annabelle.
You got Annabelle right there.
Yeah, if you see my face, it's because of Annabelle, so thank you. And I don't have to watch all of it. She does. That sucks. So, we got my CTO, Taylor Preston. He's incredible. He's worked with a lot of different startups and just a genius developer, coder. So we got him full-time. We got Annabelle. We have Stephanie Beta, who is just hopped in as customer success sales. And we have Enoch Yang, who is in Charlotte doing remote, kind of the operations and customer support. So we're a small team, but we're mighty, and they're like, I can't believe they deal with me. But and we have like an incredible board of advisors. Like, ever since starting this, I know that I know nothing, and I still like know nothing, and I'm just trying to be surrounded by the smartest people who can tell me, you know, who can give me really blunt, honest feedback. And for the first, like, I've been doing it for 2 years. I would try to meet with like 5 to 8 people every day, whether that be someone who's in the startup world, in the tech community, in marketing, sales, and then in music, and give them this idea and hear their thoughts. And, you know, every time someone had a question that stumped me, I would go home, I would rethink this, and then I would now have an answer to that question. And so I finally am now kind of at a place where, all right, I can answer the basic questions, but where's the future? Well, where do we want to go? And that's where, you know, I'm asking our employers of like, oh my God, you guys need some way to manage your contacts. Let's build it. Done. You don't like that? We'll change it. Done. Like, the only reason we're going to have this company is if you guys like it.
Yeah.
So we're going to make it exactly how people want it. And then we're going to really focus on, you know, the professionals and building out that robust, like building a whole just mobile app too. Right now it's web, so you can use it on mobile.
App is going to come in handy for the guys and girls in the trenches on the road.
And exactly.
Because it's going to be what?
No Wi-Fi. Yeah. What are you going to do?
It's going to be like, we used Artist Growth. I wasn't around long enough to be on like a tour with like Master Tour, but we did Artist Growth, which was like the same kind of thing.
Oh yeah.
But you're talking about having a team. That's no different. Being an entrepreneur and being like doing what you're doing and then finding the right pieces to take it to the level of where you want it to go. It's no different than like an artist signing a publishing deal, signing a record deal, signing.
Totally.
Because the artists are running their business just like you're running yours. So it's like we hear guys and girls talk about, I met my manager and then I got my booking agent and then I got my publisher and then I signed my record deal. And it's like all your members of the team facilitate that.
Yeah, well, if you also think about it, even smaller than that, you were your own company too as a freelancer.
Yeah.
When you were doing merch, when you were on the road, when you were doing radio. Like, I think that's something that, you know, with gigs hopefully professionalizing this industry in a way, it's like every freelancer that is hopping from tour to tour, that's managing their own schedule, that doesn't necessarily have a boss, they're their own boss, they have their own company, you know, they need to form their LLC.
1099, dude. Save those receipts, guys and girls. Save those
and
receipts.
Mileage. Dude, I had, I think it was like 12 1099s in 2019 because it was like when I was on the road and then I would work any small, so we could also maybe gigs offer tax tax services to people too.
Yeah, right.
So that's what you could do. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Anyways, okay, so you went from radio and then doing this. Where do you see this then going in 3 years?
So Ray's Rowdy, we're a country music, we have the lifestyle brand with all, as you can see, all the hats over there and all the shirts. We do the events in Nashville. We do 10 to 15 a month. We're starting to partner with festivals. So this year we're doing all three of the big Tailgate and Tall Boys festivals. We're doing Rock the South. We're doing Country Concert in Ohio. We're doing, we did some of the Rock the Countries, the Kid Rock Aldine thing.
Oh, cool.
Do Auburn Rodeo, Georgia Rodeo. We always have a big presence down at Key West Songwriters Festival.
Did you just go?
We just went. Yeah, it was fun. It's always fun. Yeah. And it's like, when I first got off the road, I was like, fuck, a part of me is really going to miss this.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a bigger part of me than I thought. Mm. And then now we're going to all these festivals and helping out with club shows in the Southeast and doing different things with Ray's Rowdy, where it's like,
I'm back on the road.
I'm back on the road. The month of July, I'm gone every weekend. I'm driving my Tacoma, pulling a 5x8 trailer that's got the merch grids, that's got this, that's got that, that's got our activation. Instead of putting on a show, I'm putting on an activation and doing this and helping out with the marketing for that. And
who's your co-founder again?
Co-founder's name's Nick Tressler.
Nicky T. Did he tour?
Nicky, he's a little bit older than I am. He's in his 40s, and he was just really good at listening. Started Ray's Rowdy was a blog, and then he had his podcast. And it was funny. He was blogging about Riley Green in like 2017, 2018, and Warner called him up and was like, hey, how do you know more about this guy than we do? Mm. So can you meet? And Nick's like, well, I'll be in Nashville for CMA Fest. I'm like, wait, you don't live here? And he started making connections through the blog, because there's Nick and I were actually talking about this last night. Hmm. It's like when you're out of town as somebody that's in like our line of work, like being curators for the people in a way, like having the blog and the podcast and the playlist and the editorial stuff. We almost do better when we're out of town, because you're in a bubble when you're in Nashville. When you're out of town, you're really searching for it. And you're finding those kids coming out of Texas. You're finding what scenes popping up. Oh, this Americana Appalachia thing's really cool. Oh, this or that. But when you're in town, you're just kind of, you're seeing like what's kind of, and we have partnered, we've partnered with a bunch of different like labels, publishers, done all kinds of takeovers, things like that. And love all those folks. But it's like, it's cool to see that. So then Nick ended up with a radio show. They gave him one of the Odyssey stations up there.
Cool.
It was Y108, gave him an editorial radio show, which is unheard of in a major market like Pittsburgh. And he ended up playing a song by Larry Fleet that wasn't even serviced yet. Big Loud saw it on their thing, and then he built a relationship with them, and he ended up doing the marketing at Big Loud for Hicks Tape for about a year and a half.
Damn.
And then he got out of that right as I got off the road with Trey, and then his business partner wanted out and had just had his second kid back in Pittsburgh. So,
well, I was asking that. This is that. What a story. And
so
what
it's been a year. Yeah.
That what a cool also shift into doing something that's like, I mean, totally is right up both y'all's alley.
Yeah.
But I was asking that because you have the touring experience. You're going on tour with him. So thank God you have that knowledge.
Yeah, and we're bringing out like this week coming up, like we're bringing out our content guy, Jarrett. We're bringing out my buddy Mitch, who used to be Trey's bass player. So he's a gigging musician.
There we go.
But now he's off the road. And he's like, I'll come sell merch for you guys. I'll come. Basically, it's come party. Bring the rowdy to Ray's rowdy. Somebody's got to do it since I'm sober.
Yeah.
And then we have like kind of like a contact list of people that come out to the festivals with us and come and hang and bring out like our own street team.
Well, I see this getting way bigger in the years to come. And when you need even more people.
Well, I was going to say gigs. I think there's like, because for us, it's like finding, like we have a great like content team and things like that. But like finding a photographer,
finding
a merch seller. And when we get to a point of if there is a Ray's Rowdy Festival one day, finding the people that can help put that on, all those resources are on
gigs. You're
the
talent. You're going to need a TM. I mean, come on now. Dream bigger. You're going to need a PA. You're going to need. It's exciting.
Yeah. I wonder. It'd be crazy to have somebody doing the job that I used to do. Doing it for me would be freaking wild. It'd be wild.
Have you had pinch me moments of like, oh my God, I get to do this job?
Yeah. I mean, next week's going to be pretty pinch me because I think Clinton, the Tailgate and Tall Boys in Clinton, the headliners are Jelly Roll, Shinedown, and Bailey. And Bailey we've known for a while. His first time playing on a stage ever was one of our events at Live Oak.
Oh my god.
That was like 4 years ago. We get to see artists as they kind of come up, and then it's cool getting to see them in the festival scene. Like one of my first events that I ever put on back in 2019, Dylan Marlowe played. He had just moved to town. You know, Dylan, Meg Maroney, people like that are just crushing now. Ella Langley was like, Ella was on tour because she and Trey have been roommates for years. She's like Trey's little sister. And during the Dick Down in Dallas days, Ella was riding in the van with us. In the 4350 opening acoustic. She probably did like 40 or 50 dates with us over the span of like a year and a half. So to see where she's at now, where she's got that big song with Cameron Marlowe that just went to radio. So getting to be on stage for 10 minutes at a time, hyping up the crowd at a festival like that, and getting to introduce people that I once introduced at Live Oak at a festival, that's going to be a pretty big pinch me moment.
Congrats. That is so amazing.
Have you had any yet? Like what's been one of yours?
Well, being asked to talk about, you know, being an industry expert on podcasts and in conferences is like what? I'm 28. Like
yeah, and, same. When's your birthday?
January 19th.
January 19th.
Are you?
I'm January
23rd. She's 24th.
No shit.
Would you look at that? You're a little Aquarius.
That. All the Aquariuses.
No, I'm a Capricorn. Well, you're a Capricorn. None of this matters. I don't know. But anyway,
I think I'm an Aquarius, right? Okay. Cool.
Confirmed. Okay. So I think the first pinch me moment was like literally. I mean, Eric Church was also like one of my favorite artists, favorite music. So it was like, you know, listening to Springsteen in rehearsals, and I was like, how do I get to do this for a living? You know, you're not also taught about these jobs exist. Had I known in high school I could be doing this, I might have had a totally different trajectory in college. I might not have even needed to go to college.
That's what I'm saying. You probably could have just gotten out and gotten entry level with the high school degree, and then by that point you have the 4 years you were spending, which again, I look at my college journey as it worked out, and I take skills that I learned
it.
Just like what you learned in Elon. Great school, a lot of fun.
Totally.
But yeah, you get that early start.
Yeah, and I mean, also, if I had known going in maybe freshman year, I would have really taken more production classes, and I could have even, you know, I could have been a more skilled PA going into then TM or PM, like, or production coordinator, whatever it is. Like, I could have had a different. So I, you know, a huge thing with gigs, I want to educate high school level and college level. Like, we're partnering with so many colleges now of like, by the way, this is a great career, and hey, by the way, it pays really well. Yes. And like, you should really, you know, to start out, you got to start out here, but and maybe drive a van and maybe live in a van.
You pay your dues.
But it's music
That's
industry.
Part of it.
It's also, you get the shittiest jobs at the beginning because everyone needs to see, are you in it? Like, are you okay with 18-hour days? Are you going to be a complainer? Are you going to be a good hang? Are you going to work hard no matter what? Then you're going to get a cushy job. But, you know, I mean, especially touring is never going to be cushy. It's a tough job. But for people that need to be on their feet, people that, you know, like chaos, that if you're on tour, you are just a problem solver and you're a leader. I didn't realize that until I went out, that like everyone in every department, so that's video, audio, lighting, rigging, carp, like you are, the stagehands come in, the hundreds come in, and you are the leader telling them how to put this truss together, how to put all this together. So truly, like, what you're looking for when you're hiring for touring is, can they be a leader? Can they lead well? And are they willing to put in the work? You know, do they know that you're going to load in at 6 a.m. and you might not load out till 2 or 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And you get a couple hours of sleep. Can you still be a joy to be around? You know, it's just.
What was your go-go juice for staying awake? Mine was Bang Energy when I was the Muscadine.
Bang.
I was banging.
Oh my God. I did Red Bull, which just, it was like, I have not had Red Bull since I've toured.
What flavor?
The sugar-free one.
Okay, sugar-free. At least you had that.
I would go with.
I used and I did this
now.
A lot.
Celsius existed.
Celsius.
I would be on a different
Celsius
level.
Celsius changes the game.
Completely.
Love,
oh my God, I love it.
I love Celsius. but when I'm out now at these festivals, I'll take whatever. Like sometimes we're set up next to the Monster Energy tent.
There you go.
And they'll just hook us up with stuff. It's like, hey, we'll give you a hat for a case, and we give them a hat, and then we end up with a case of Monsters, and then all my people, all the girls and guys selling merch are just flying
Let's
around.
Go.
It's crazy.
Well, then you forget. Like you'll have coffee and be like, wait a minute. today would be better. I would be happier and I would be better at my job if I just chugged this Red Bull. And so then you get really bad habits on the road. And then, you know, it's just, yeah, it can be an unhealthy lifestyle, but it's like an active decision if you want to be healthy because you're getting 4 meals a day. You're starting to eat 6 a.m. when you're loading in.
Oh, if you got catering, you're set. Catering changes the game.
Catering can be great or the worst thing in the world. You got lunch, you got dinner, and then you have after show.
How could it be the worst thing in the world? Just because of the desserts that are there? Are you talking about from the health style? Or are you talking about working in catering? Or
both. Yeah, I started out in catering.
You got to see it on both.
Yeah, and it just depends. Like, yeah, I think one of our caterers, he would get like the best desserts in every town. So we went to Boston. It was like the greatest cannolis and all this, like these cake shops. And so I was like, well, yeah, I just walked 30,000 steps today. I'm going to try all this. And then you're drinking like, cause my first job was I would do dressing rooms from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. 6 p.m. I would become the backstage bartender for all the guests that would come to the show. So my job from 6 p.m. to 2 a.m. was to get everyone shit-faced.
Yeah.
And so I would too. And it was so fun because, you know, you get people coming in and you would be like, take a shot. And they're like, well, take it with me. And I'm like, twist my arm. So yeah, I mean, it was just like, it was a great time, but I also was 22.
You're meeting so many people like that way too. Like,
oh,
the
my
guests
gosh.
That come to these shows. That's something I learned being on tour with Bob with Kid Rock was one day we were sitting, it was in Tampa, Florida at the shed that's there.
Nice.
And we were sitting in our little dressing room area, and we heard somebody kept going, woo, 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 like Ric Flair.
Oh my gosh.
I look out the window, it's Ric Flair having a fucking cigar with Kid Rock. And I'm like, oh shit. So, like, the guests that are on some of these tours that are showing up, you never know.
I got to meet some,
you never know who you're going to see.
Yeah, we got some NDAs. We're not, yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, that backstage bartender role is it definitely. On your first day, you're probably signing that.
Yeah, we had a fun time.
Yes,
yeah.
I'm sure. Hell yeah. That's awesome. What bunk were you?
I was going to ask you that, too.
I was going to ask the bunk questions. Very important with touring.
Very important. I was bottom, back, passenger side. How about you?
Okay. I got lucky where I would do
Don't
the top.
Don't tell me you did condo from the beginning.
Oh, well, no, we didn't do condo. Okay. No, we were in a bandwagon.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We were in a bandwagon.
True.
My first bunk experience actually when the tornado came through Nashville, I was still with Muscat, like right before COVID had shut, right before COVID shut everything down, we borrowed Drew Baldridge's Sprinter and he had like the coffin bunks.
Oh, God.
So my first bunk experience was the coffin
Obviously.
Sprinter.
In the Sprinter, yeah.
That was my first one going to a mud park in, in where the hell were we? It was somewhere in Mississippi. It was wild.
You have earned this.
Oh, yeah. I saw some shit. Oh, yeah. We had some fun. It was fun, but it was, it was crazy. But I would be in the bandwagon sometimes. I would take passenger back top, which wasn't the best.
The worst. I couldn't get up there. I'm 5'4".
Yeah, you are little.
So
you are little. Yeah.
And then
yeah.
you would be like, that's like, you get really like wobbly.
I was the tour manager that tried to make sure that the guys
you
were
being nice.
Because with Trey, it was like his guys were, it was the band that he had playing cover shows. Because people don't realize Trey had been doing music for 10 years before Dick Down came out.
Wow.
The week before it came out, he was sleeping in his van with his other guys playing at a tin roof in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Love
so
it.
It's like, those guys, they got out there and got a taste of it. Shit got wild.
Wow.
It was a wild gig.
Yeah.
It was a wild, wild gig. Man.
And I mean, hell, I got, who am I to talk? Like, I had, a few years touring and then I kind of got out and went to staffing and did this. There's so many just, you know, way more insane veterans. And like part of gigs I really want to prop up, especially the older veterans that like made this industry is only like 50 years old, so like they made this what it is.
Yeah.
And so I'm we were gonna have like a mentorship thing, but anyways,
that's
all that to
be,
say,
because the OGs, the old heads, love mentoring.
And well, they we need it.
They love it though.
Like, we got millennials and Gen Z coming in being like, I need a work-life balance. And it's like, do you know what industry you're in? I don't think you
I need
get
a work-life
that.
Balance. Oh, what do you mean I got to sleep in the van?
Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean? What do you mean lunch is pulling into this Exxon because we're running a little
late?
Because
brutal.
What do you mean the trailer tire popped because the axles were increased?
Oh, what do you mean you don't get to go home for a few months?
Yeah.
Like, that's the job. If you don't like that, then you should. So it's like we do need some tough love from the vets to bring when people are coming in of like, that's why you get the shittiest job. That's why when you start out, you're the first one in, last one out, and like those really physical jobs to start to be like, can you actually make it? Do you even like this? If you don't like it, we don't want you. Go out. But if you do like it, you know, then you're meant to be out here.
Yeah, and that's a sign for, I think, a lot of different things in Nashville. You know, like the grind is so important. So when you're not out there grinding and doing this, how do you relax? What do you do when you're not in gigs life? Because I know it seems like this is this is it. It's a 24-hour job.
No, I get burnt out. So I get burnt out all the time because it's never ending. But so I'm learning to, like, at least once a month I take like a Saturday off, and it's awesome. And so, like, I got out on a boat. It was fabulous. Genuinely, if my week contains Wednesday night Bible study, Sunday church, and like Sunday supper with my best girlfriends, like, my week is good. If I'm working all the rest of the time, fine. But as long as I have time for those, like, I have a good week. But relaxing.
What do you like to do?
Man, oh my gosh, I play tennis. I love playing tennis and pickleball. I'm on like a league. Yeah, of course, now I made it competitive. It's a job now. We're going to States next weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I love me some tennis. And man, I love reading. I love working out, hiking. I love to go to the beach. Dude, I've never been south. I've only been to like... I've never been to the, like, 30A. I really want to.
You've never done the golf?
No, I really want to. Yeah.
We're doing a thing in September.
Okay.
And this is for you too, Annabelle.
We're going.
We are doing, so we did it last year as kind of like a test pilot. And this year, I think we're doing it a little, we're really going for it. We're doing a Raise Rowdy weekend takeover of the Floribama.
Dude. Okay, I'm there.
So
I'm there.
So we book all the acts, and then it's like some songwriters, and then like the full band stuff. And the Floribama is nuts because it's got four stages in it, like, in the building.
I've heard so much about it.
Half of you feel like you're living in a Riley Green or a Kenny Chesney song, because it's where Riley got his start.
Yes,
there's a famous story of Riley arm wrestling a guy and snapping the dude's arm.
What,
like, back in the day? Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh.
See, it's wild. It's a fun time, but it's right on the beach, and the Gulf beaches are unlike anything else, with the white sand. The water's
no,
so
I'm in.
Clear.
September, you tell me when I'm there. Yes. Done. Yeah. Funny, the arm wrestling. It's so funny. I actually on Saturday went to Mother's Ruin, which I also said I don't ever want to go back to Mother's, but I always end up back at Mother's.
I've never been.
Oh my gosh, you don't go. It's
where,
great.
Where is it?
Germantown.
Okay.
It's great, kind of. I don't know. But I was, I don't know what happened. One of my best friends and I, we like had some bet, and we were like arm wrestling about it. And I don't even know how this happened, but we had the biggest crowd. Everyone's like throwing dollar bills and like betting on, like, she's 5 foot, I'm five. We're like doing an arm. Anyways, so that might be our new bar move of just like making money. Hey, like, I'm a poor entrepreneur. I need some money. Let me win this thing.
Where in town do you like to go out to? Like, where are your spots? You don't strike me as the Broadway type.
No.
I feel like you've been here long enough. I feel like we all go through our Broadway phase when we first get here.
Oh, totally.
And then we're like, nah.
No, and you know, I went from Broadway phase, and then I did the Printer's Alley phase.
Okay.
And I kind of feel like I want to go back to Printer's Alley phase. That was a really fun.
Boogie Bar.
Miss Kelly's.
Yep.
Yeah, damn. Yeah, Germantown's fun. I live in Sylvan Park, so I love Neighbors.
Neighbors
out there
is a staple.
Where do you go?
I live out here in Hermitage. So, and then my girlfriend lives up in Cross Plains, but she did a little stint living in the Gulch.
Yeah.
So I spent some time in there. I got my Gulch. I was a Gulch boy for about 6-7 months. It was different going into places like the pub, and now they've got Neighbors over there.
I know, I've heard it's great.
For me, it's been Midtown for a long time. So
I had to take a break from Midtown, but I'm willing to give it another shot.
Where were you? Were you a Tin Roof girl?
No.
Okay, so that's good. That's good. That's good.
But I was a Loser's girl.
You were a Loser's
girl.
Okay.
And a Red Door. Yeah. I had to take a break. Dude, I don't get to do anything fun anymore. So no, I want to do that. I miss Red Door Mondays and all that good stuff.
Red Door would be a good spot for you to do one of those networking
the next
things.
One.
That would be a fantastic spot. Think of all the connections that have been made sitting on that patio. Imagine doing like a happy hour.
100%. No, done. It's already.
Happy hour at Red Door would be
sponsored by Gigs.
Sponsored by Gigs. That's what I'm saying. It's a Gigs happy hour.
If you want a happy dad, you got to register for Gigs.
Yes.
And we'll get you a free happy dad. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah. That's the next place. No, I'm ready to have some fun again. It's summer. And I think There are a lot of sacrifices when you start your own business. And like, I had to sacrifice a lot of personal life stuff, all of my money, but it's, you know, it's so cool that it's working and people are getting jobs. Yeah. And so, you know, I know that this is going to be a grind for the next 5 years to actually like really make it what I want it to be.
Yeah.
And what I think none of us really, you know the direction and, you know, marry the mission, date the model. So like things are going to change, but I've never felt more of a purpose. And we have such a fun, sweet, great team. I can't wait to build it out more. And so I don't plan to have a life for a little while, but that's okay. Like this is worth it.
I feel that because I'm doing the same kind of thing.
Of course you are.
Running a podcast network because we've got mine. We've got four others. Thankfully, two of them are like digital. So it's just like they do it on like the Zoom style platform. So it's just down. Not as much work goes into it.
Yeah.
But like.
We just started a podcast yesterday.
You did?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
The Cakes Podcast.
Hell yeah. I was going to say,
you are very well spoken.
Like, you do a great fucking job. Seriously.
All I do is listen to podcasts. So thanks.
Yeah. Well, there you go. You've got lots of experience
training.
Of listening.
Sorry. Keep going.
Well, I was going to say, like, I relate to how you're saying, like, trying to balance it all.
Yeah, for real.
You just got to be all in on it. And the sweat equity.
Sweat equity is everything. Plus, you know, I mean, we're 28. Like, come on now. Like, let's set ourselves up for the future. Like, and I tell everyone who's like graduating college or whatever, it's like, if you are in your early 20s, now is the time to work your ass off and like say no to going out of that thing and like yes, saying yes to that gig. Oh, it ruins your Friday night because you have to work. Well, that's going to get your next gig. Like it's just if you are a hustler, you're going to go really far in this industry. But if you're not willing to put in the work, like it's not for you. Go into corporate America.
Yeah, I didn't have weekends for the longest time. Now I still don't with doing the festivals and stuff.
How do you relax?
I spend a lot of time with my girlfriend and her daughter. Okay.
Awesome.
She has a little 5-year-old girl that's awesome, and I have trouble saying the word no to that Erin, my girlfriend, gets on to me about.
Yeah.
Tonight I'm going to a show, but I'm going to like enjoy the concert. I'm going to see Tyler Halverson and Carson Jeffrey over at Basement East, so I will definitely be popping by Lakeside Lounge. Yes.
No, but enjoying a concert enjoying the music, is incredible.
Because that's the reason I got into this shit.
Exactly.
Because I enjoy it.
Oh my gosh. That was like, that was another little pinch me moment of like, oh my gosh, I don't have to deal, when I'm like going to shows now, I'm like, I don't have to deal with any of the things going on. I just could just sit here and listen to some good music.
Oh, the video board's off from the sound. I don't have to worry about that.
Oh, there's
this issue.
Oh, but I'm critical as hell though.
You're watching how changeover's going and you're analyzing it. It's like a former athlete watching somebody play.
Yeah, but it's also, but then you have such an appreciation for
absolutely.
All of it. But the other thing though is like, I think when I had that first internship working that Dolly Parton show, when I was working at the Coliseum, the event managers go, never pay for your actual seat. Like, just get the shittiest ticket and you can sit wherever you want. You just have to have confidence. And I live by that. And I guess if everyone did that, it would be a mess. It would be chaos. Like, definitely follow the rules.
What's the wildest way that's worked for you? What show did you do
that?
Oh,
I've gotten backstage. Like, you just have to have a lot of confidence. Bridgestone, you have to know the venue. So, like, depends. If you buy... Oh my God. Okay. Recently I went to Ed Sheeran. We got tickets like that day for the 300 at Nissan. So we walk in and I see the guy who's giving out wristbands for the floor. And I was like, is this where we get the wristbands? He's like, oh, do you have floor seats? I was like, yeah. I got it for like 10 of my friends. And we were on the floor and it was just awesome. I was like, damn, like I'm totally taking advantage of that guy. Didn't know, but he should have known.
That's fucking.
So I like Bridgestone, you know, you can buy whatever seats and like usually just sit right behind front of house and those seats are always empty.
I don't know.
No one else take this from me.
They're hacks.
Just it's all about, you know, knowing when people are going to come to yell at you, get out of the way. But I don't know. I think like if you don't know that kind of confidence and that energy of kind of knowing where to go is kind of like what you need to be in the industry too. I don't know. I think I could get some hate for that, but anyways.
No, I don't think so. I love it. So you went and saw Ed Sheeran. What kind of music do you really do you vibe with now?
Oh my gosh, I'm all over the board.
Our tastes change as we get older,
right?
Too.
Like, man, like my all-time guy is Paul Simon. I love, like, okay. Yeah, Graceland's my favorite album. But I was raised on like classic rock with my family, and then got into more Southern rock, and then like recently I love Casey Musgraves so much. I love a really good songwriter. Who doesn't? Yeah. I guess. But Casey, man, you know what's sad is like when I have a lot on my brain, I either drive in silence or I listen to a podcast, because I can tune out a podcast, but I can't tune out music.
Yeah.
So if I'm listening to music, I am enjoying it and I'm listening to every part of it. And so I guess I've got a lot on my head because I'm so like lame right now. I'm not listening to music much. What about you?
I mean, I'm all over the place because I'm consuming it every day.
You're writing about it and talking about it.
Yeah, we're like I said, we do the 10 to 15 events a month in town. So it's like I'm here. Like I heard 5 full bands last night, and we had 2 acoustic acts, and like I'm getting to see it like at the ground level. So it's like there's people.
I need to come. I can't wait.
Yeah, come whenever. We'll be at Live Oak on Sunday. We're at Live Oak every Sunday. Losers every Wednesday. We do events out at the Rusty Nail, which is the Rust.
Sick.
Have you been out there before?
Yes, years ago though.
So it's cleaned up. It's gotten cleaned up a little bit.
Okay.
Rusty Nail is a magical place. I like it because it's near my house where I live out here in Hermitage.
Amazing.
So I'm spoiled. Yeah. I don't have to go into town, pay for parking, mm-hmm. Which is great. And then they have the volleyball court out back. So we do our events. Like we're doing one. We do one a month called Rhythm and Smoke. Cigar and
Sick.
Whiskey.
Oh, cool.
And they have that little back patio stage where we put 2 people on while there's co-ed volleyball league going on.
That's so what I want to play volleyball.
So they have, Nail's the place to do it.
Wednesday? Wait, what is it? What day is this?
This is Monday.
Monday.
So we do that Monday. Then we have our buddy who is now part of Trey Lewis's touring crew. He used to be his drummer. He's our buddy Matt McElwain. He books an event there the other Monday. And then I host at Live Oak every other Tuesday.
Your schedule is full.
All over the place.
You don't sleep either.
No, I don't.
But, sleep when you're dead.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. Sleep when you're dead. Well, Nikki, I appreciate the hell out of you coming and
this
doing
is amazing.
This.
Amazing. Thank you.
I can't wait to see your podcast is going to crush. No, it will. It will, honestly, because you're going to be able to have, like, the advice, the nuggets of knowledge that you just gave during this, you doing that consistently and the visual content of that, and like pair that with going to all these conferences and just giving kids hope, because it's daunting when you get out of college and you don't know exactly what you want to do, or you're like, I want to work in music. Now they have a place they can sign up and they can go fucking work in music.
There we go.
And they're going to pay their
the whole
dues.
Mission.
So seriously, I love what you're doing with gigs. As somebody who has gigged a bunch.
Exactly.
I appreciate you
we
doing it.
We need to get
it.
You on gigs. We need to make a profile.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm probably going to have you help me with
that.
Yes,
I got you.
We will for sure do that. And because I love what you're doing with it. Yeah. And I love the give back to the community. That's something we'd like to say with Raise Rowdy, is that we love giving back to the community. And the community,
you're doing it
the
every
community
week.
For us is the songwriters, the artists, the music fans, things like that. Community of the workforce that gets so taken for granted and hasn't had the resources, you're doing a shit ton for. And I'm so excited and thankful to have you in this town and in this business.
Oh my gosh.
Seriously.
Damn. So,
I know.
So sweet.
I'm a good hype man.
Yeah,
I'm a good hype man.
Oh my goodness.
That's why they like me introducing people on stage. People are like, wait, you just gave that introduction. And like, it could even be somebody that I haven't met yet.
Great.
Like yourself. Or
that's
like,
that is your superpower. You're going to crush it next week. Oh my gosh. Enjoy every second of it.
Oh, it's going to be wild.
Full circle moment of kind of the steps you climb and where you are now. That's incredible.
We're excited going to Iowa. Lots of corn.
Lots of corn.
It's going to be awesome.
Lots of flat. Yeah, that's going to be great.
Yeah.
Lots of country music lovers. So that's going to be amazing.
Yes, we love the Midwest. So where can people go to find you on everything?
On Instagram, I'm Nikki Sanz, NIKKISANZZ. And follow gigs at gigs, GIGGS.live. We have a TikTok, I think, and a YouTube, and we're constantly posting gigs. And so to get on gigs, go to gigs.live, GIGGS.live. And you can use the promo code, if you're listening to Raise Rowdy, gigs-raiserowdy, to get right in, because we vet everybody unless you have a referral code. So if you're listening to this, you got your referral code. Get on in there, start creating your profile applying to jobs.
That's awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Love that. We all be sure to check out our girl, Nikki Sanz, and be sure to visit gigs. Any guys and girls out there, I know you guys watch this shit. I know you guys ask me all the time about touring and stuff. Go to gigs.
Oh,
go
yeah.
check out gigs live and be on the lookout and follow our girl Nikki. And thank you guys and girls, as always, for watching and listening to Outside the Round. For more on us, visit RaisedRowdy.com. Shout out to our new friends from Surfside, Matt Quigley. We love you. We love the folks at Surfside. Great vodka iced tea, lemonade, all kinds of flavors. We're going to send you home with a 4-pack.
Right yes.
here. Take it out on the boat with you. Bring it to girls' dinner on Sunday. Y'all can arm wrestle for it. It'll be awesome. But
thank you
guys as always. For my girl Nikki, I'm Matt Barrill. This has been Outside the Round.
Thanks, Matt.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. I ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve. They usually just make them leave.